Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
/7:55 is real with David O'Brien and Eric O'Flaherty is on the air now. Welcome to 7:55 is real, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I'm David O'Brien, Braves writer for The Athletic. I'm with my co-host, as usual, back from his European vacation, Eric O'Flaherty.
What's up, Dave?
What's up, Eric? How you doing, man?
Good.
How was Italy?
Didn't go to Italy. I went to the hospital. Oh, my wife's pregnant, so she's having. It's hot here. She's grinding right now.
Everything all right?
Yeah, she's good.
All right, cool. Well, KJ filled in for you, man. So send him your check for $1,000.
Yeah, well, sure he needs it.
He does. He's raising 18 kids, man.
Kelly made some good money. I think he's smart with it too.
He did. Yeah, you could tell he is. Got some good-looking boys. Got some good-looking kids, man. And girl. Yeah. He's got four.
Yeah. I know. He's bad. We got our third boy coming, and he's a bad influence on my wife because she wants a girl. So.
Uh-oh. Yeah, he brought him. I told you. He brought him to the game. And if you didn't know Kelly, there was no way you would think that guy is a father for those three. He does not look old enough to be a dad of four.
Yep. They cranked him up fast.
Yeah. It looks like it. They all look the same age. Just about.
Huddy has a kid. He has a couple kids, I think, that are 9 months apart or something. Like the bare minimum that you can.
Irish twins?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do we want to talk about today? Oh, the Braves. Your thoughts? Man, that's baseball, huh? This team.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because you get excited about a series and you lose to the Pirates who, you know, haven't tried in years, you know, but I mean, that's baseball. That's why, you know, the playoffs in baseball have to be multiple games. You can't just have a 1-1 matchup because any team can beat anybody at any time. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't read into a loss to the Pirates much. I mean, if you lose a series to them or get swept by them, that hurts. But one game at a time in baseball is nothing.
That's why your one-game wild card game is so stupid because the entire sport is built around playing series all year, postseason, everything. And then all of a sudden you have this one-game wild card where if your starter doesn't line up or if your starter has this, you know, one or two of his worst games of the year, you got no chance. Yep. And it's not a representative sample in any way of your team.
Of how teams are built, too. I mean, you can have Felix Hernandez in his prime for the Mariners going up against a team that won 107 games. And you go up against Felix, you know, in his prime, you're be out.
Or, DeGrom. I mean, the Mets could squeak into the wild card game and DeGrom starts, you know.
Anybody in one game.
Yeah, so – I'm glad that's what I liked last year so much better than three games. Three games isn't ideal, but it's much better than one.
Because
then
you at least
have a couple of your pitchers going.
You got to prove it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a much better deal. And I hope they work that out in the future where that wild card round is three games. And last year, I liked the way they did it too.
So it's not three this year? It's back to one?
God, what is it this year? It's 10 teams instead of 16.
But they keep changing it so much, I can't keep track.
Yeah, what? Look that up. Cam, look that up while we're looking at this. Since it's back to 10, I assumed it was a wild card game. I should know that. And I, like you said, there's so many rules.
It's so many changes, man. I check out, and then I look in, like, mid-August, you know, what the deal is for the playoffs, you know, when you see what teams are going. But
yeah,
seems like it changes every year now.
So – yeah, despite laying an egg in that series opener against the Pirates last night, an 11-1 loss in a game that started by Max Fried, the hero from the day before with his pinch hit single on Sunday, in the 10th inning. So despite having a game, and Freed was on a great roll too since coming back from the IL for the second time, but despite him starting for the Braves and Case DeJong starting for the Pirates, who had literally one career win in like four or five seasons, and an ERA this year closer to 6 than 5. The Braves lose that game 11-1. And, I mean, they came out, and they get a run. They were up 1-0 six pitches into the game. Single Acuna, double and an error, double by Freeman and an error on the right fielder. The Braves are up 1-0, and I'm thinking, oh, the Braves are going to roll. They're going to keep that momentum going from Sunday. And that was it. They gave up 11 unanswered runs to the Pirates. And, Gamble, 2 homers, career high 6 RBIs. Tomlin gives up 2 homers in an inning, 4 runs. Tomlin doesn't look like last year, man. You know, he'll look good for a few outings, and then he'll have a really rough one. So, I don't know. It just kind of underscored what I've said. I think the Braves have got to go out and get at least one arm and preferably 2 for that pen. I think the starting pitching's okay. I think they need to add a bat and add 2 bullpen arms if they really want to make a more than just squeak into the playoffs, if they can somehow win the division.
I was thinking it'd be cool if the Cubs fell off and you got a shot at Kimbrel, because he is on another level again this year.
Well, they've fallen off.
Yeah.
10 straight losses, man.
Yeah. I mean, that could work out pretty good. He'd be solid at the end of the pen.
Oh, he's been unbelievable too, man. He's just getting better as the season goes on.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting, man. The Cubs had some difficult choices, and now they're getting even more difficult. I mean, you're losing 10 in a row at the worst time. I guess there's 2 different ways of looking at it. You might be the best time if you're the Cubs and trying to make the choices easier, but man.
If you're a GM, if you were planning on rebuilding or not really competing and you got some trade pieces you want to use, the worst case scenario is your team plays above who it is and stays in it. And then you can't
justify it to your fans.
You got to justify it to the fans why you're trading all these guys, when that was the plan all along.
Right. And the Brewers are pulling away. So by the time another couple of weeks, they might be able to say there's no way we're going to catch them. So,
yeah.
So hello, Chris Bryant and Kimbrel, and it's going to be some choices they got to make. I know what Theo, he would have already made up his mind. He was still there. So anyway, despite losing that game 11-1, being embarrassed really after that thrilling win the day before, the Braves are still just 4.5 games out of first place. And the thing is, the Mets lead, and the Braves have shown already that they can beat the Mets. I mean, they don't fear the Mets, They have a losing record against the Marlins, but against the Mets, they've played really well,
And well, the thing about that, too, is you'd almost rather be 4 games back and playing terrible than 4 games back and playing, like, above your abilities and saying, we can't play any better than this and we can't catch this team, because that's what it always felt like with Philly. No matter how good we played when I was there, they were just better, and we knew we weren't catching them. And that head-to-head matchup's huge, too, because we'd go into Philly and lose 2 out of 3 every time and lose a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. As ugly as it's been, you got a shot if you could just stay close till you get hot. But
as ugly as it's been, they have not gone on one roll yet. I mean, one like 8-2 roll or, 12-3 roll, which they have in them, I think, with the starting pitching going the way it's going. But I think you might have to add a bullpen arm before you can do it. But despite not going on a roll yet and having to cut like 3-4 game losing streaks, they're still 4.5 games out of first place with almost half the season left.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we sound like a broken record, but you got to maintain that perspective, especially if you're on the team.
Playing with the lineup that, if you look at the bottom half of the lineup, is journeymen and guys that they didn't know were even going to be on the team, much less in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Your Heredias, your Almontes, your now Orlando Arcia, Kevin Smith. These are guys that you didn't even have in spring training. You didn't even have on your team.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be at AAA if they were even in the organization. So, yeah. And remember, just when the Nats were starting to get kind of scary looking, that with Schwarber killing the ball.
He got hurt.
He got hurt, and he could be out. I mean, he could be out a month, man. That hamstring looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
He couldn't even walk off the field. He's hobbling. It looked like it was a severe – if that's a severe strain, and as big as he is, leading off, I don't see him coming back for a month.
That sucks for him.
Because he was on the roll of a lifetime, yeah.
That's the type of run you go on and wind up getting –
on a one-year deal.
Getting a contract that changes your whole life, you know, if you can keep that stretch going.
On a one-year deal this year and having that kind of season. Wow. See if he can pick it up when he gets back. Braves hope he doesn't. Anyway, despite that loss, the Braves have won 11 of their last 19, four of their last six. They had won four out of five, including both series at home against the Mets and Marlins before losing that game last night in Pittsburgh. So basically, they're 200 500 now. They had hoped to get out of Pittsburgh over 500 for the first time all season. Now they got to win the next two games in Pittsburgh to go to Miami at 500. And win two out of three in Miami if they want to go to the All-Star break over 500 for the first time all season.
Didn't see that coming.
I think mentally that could do a lot for them if they could go to the break over 500 for the first time, you know? Instead of under 500 still and go, Jesus, we haven't been over 500 not one day all year.
Yeah, I mean, either way, it's like this is a team that needs All-Star break.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you want to go into it feeling good, but even if you go into it playing terrible, it's a reset. Those 3-4 days off and check out and just start over after the break.
If they had won yesterday, it would have been 5 out of 6. It'd be a totally different story. Yep. You know what I mean?
You want to go into it hot for sure.
Yeah, but they didn't. So, yeah, they need to win these next two in Pittsburgh. And they could have won 2 out of 3 from the Marlins. But, you know, Marlins, they're 4-6 against the Marlins this year. Marlins lost Sixto Sanchez for the rest of the season. Shoulder. He might not even be back till the All-Star break next year. So that's how it hurts for them, and that's a blow for them because they're young pitching. That's what they got, and a few position guys. So, but it was a 4-team race anyway. Even though the Marlins have the Braves number this year, they weren't in the race. You know, it's 4 teams are right there. You know, the Phillies have got to look at it like the Braves do. The Phillies have played like crap, man, and they're right there with the Braves. They're still in it, and they haven't put together a run yet and done what they can do. So
yeah, and if you're the Mets, you know being in first place, you got to look around the division and kick yourself that you don't have a bigger lead right now.
Yeah,
because you got to look at the other. You got to look at the Braves especially, but the Phillies too, and say both these teams are playing terrible.
Yep,
and they want to build that lead. I mean, that's just as frustrating when you're in first place. The most frustrating thing is when you're in first place and you're playing incredibly well. And there's this team that just won't go away. You know, I mean, the Mets aren't, they're not killing it. They're just happen to be the team playing the least shitty. But
yeah, it's like the Nats a couple of years ago when they won it all and they started out so slow.
Yep.
And then they got hot and it didn't matter how hot the Braves were. They couldn't do anything, put any distance in them.
And 4 games, I mean, that can, you can close that in a week.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're hot and you're playing like the Nats did that year in the second half, you know, they can. That's why it's hard, because they can win this division, in my mind, pretty easily if they get hot. And they just haven't done it.
Problem is, they got to do it now, because you look at that schedule coming out of the break.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's nasty, man.
But it's the same Rays, thing. Like Padres, when this team's playing well, when they're Rays, playing Padres, well.
Oof. Yeah, when they play well against good teams.
Yeah, and when they're playing well, it's
they can
beat anybody.
They tend to play their best ball against the better teams. The teams you think they're going to get beat, the series you think they're going to lose, they go in and win 2 out of 3 like they did against the Mets, like they did against the Reds when the Reds were hot. You know, they've done it. They did it against the Dodgers.
Yeah. It's like, you know, here's a turning point, and then you go back to what you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's kind of the same thing individually, you know, when you're going through a season – and you're struggling and you think you get back on track, you know, you think you make some adjustment, you start putting it together. I was like a reliever or something. Then you give up a 3 spot.
Yeah.
Or as a position player, then you take a couple 0-for-4s and then you're right back where you were. I mean, it's kind of the same grind, and it's why the baseball season is so long and so mentally challenging, is because you almost have to be insane to keep believing things are going to turn around and you got to be patient. But that's the place they're in right now.
Eric, let's hear from today's sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Full rosters were announced for the All-Star game. They had already announced the starters last Thursday, and then Sunday they announced the reserves. Ozzie added to that, which is no surprise. It would have been a shocker if he didn't. So the Braves, for the third All-Star game in a row, have three All-Stars. They got stars, man. You know, that's the other thing that's so frustrating for their fans. This is a team that's got some stars with Freddie Freeman, Acuna, Ozzie Albies. They've got stars. Austin Riley's having a really good year. But you lose Darno. That hurt. You're counting on getting him back. He's in a cast now to kind of zip off and he can work out now with it off. So he's making progress. You know he's making big progress. He's long tossing and throwing off flat ground, that kind of thing. So those two, I'm not – you know, I could see a Noah, depending on what they do at the trade deadline, I could see him coming back in the bullpen. But we'll see. No, they haven't said yet. Darno's going to be big because they, you know, they're wearing out the kid behind the plate, man. And I think Darno just taking charge and plus his bat, you know, the kid is – I think Contreras is going to be a real good hitter for his career, but right now he looks a little in over his skis, or maybe the scouting report has caught it catching up with him. He ain't making adjustments yet. But he's really struggling. So that could be big if they can add them, you know, a month into this thing after the break. But I still think they need to make a move, or at least a move or two with an added bat and a thing and a couple of relievers. But 17 first-time All-Stars in each league. How about that? That just tells you how young baseball continues to skew, man. There was a time when you only had a few new first-timers, it seemed like. And the same guys came back to the All-Star game every year.
Oh, it was the same, dude. The guys were tired of going. Like, you'd have veterans that didn't want to make the All-Star team because they wanted their first, you know, their first All-Star break off in 8 years.
You don't hear that now.
No.
12-time All-Star. Yeah, I'm going to skip it. My hamstring's a little sore.
Yeah. I think it was CeCe that just decided not to go.
I'm not going. So 17 new ones in each league, and the new one that everybody's talking about, obviously, is Shohei Ohtani, who was already selected as the American League's designated hitter, voted in, and now he's named to the squad as a pitcher as well. So I'm interested to see how they're going to do that, you know, because it's for the fans. The game's for the fans. So how are they going to best utilize him for that? I'm interested to see. Do you start him
as
the DH and then switch him to pitch an inning?
I don't know the best way to get him in, but you got to have him pitch and hit in that game. That's the only thing I know is he's got to, because that's one of the coolest stories in baseball this year is what he's doing.
And
you got to find
a
way to work it where he throws an inning and gets a few at-bats. But I'm excited about the home run derby. He's going to hit a ball 580.
Can you imagine this kid, can you imagine Shohei – winning the home run derby, hit one out of Coors Field, which I think he could do with that deck. With the third deck gone now and they have that party deck, I think he could hit one out of the stadium. Imagine him winning the home run derby and then pitching, striking out a couple of guys on the side in the, you know, in his inning and hitting a home run as a designated hitter. He would be the biggest thing in the game at that point if he's not already.
It's funny, man, because you get sick of hype.
Yeah.
You know, you get sick of seeing his highlights and seeing all the stuff about him and talking about him and what he's doing. And everybody in the game is talking about it. But the home runs he's hitting, like he'll hit a slider down and in out to left center. His swing is, you know, he's not just a raw power guy. He can get the barrel to anything.
Yeah.
And I like to say, you know, if he was playing in Yankee Stadium or a different park, he'd probably have more home runs. And he would, because he flies out to the track sometimes. Yeah. But most of his home runs, most of his home runs are 60, 70 feet over the wall.
Like Acuna.
Yeah.
I think people get tired of the hype maybe because they look at it as some of his starts, which it's unfair the way they're using him, you know, but I don't think anybody's figured out a fair way to use him. You know, they're trying to get the most out of him, but I think it's kind of backfired as a starter because there's a reason nobody's been able to do it. Babe Ruth, really, if you look at it, never was the best hitter while he was also the best pitcher.
Yeah.
He was not until he switched, you know? So there's a reason nobody's ever been able to do it. And especially in today's game, man, with the demands that there are, it's tough. I just wish there was a way that they could do it. And I think ultimately it might be to use him as a reliever, but I don't know. I don't know if that works, but have him close, man. You know, DH and close.
Yeah, then you lose that DH when he – you got to hope he doesn't blow the game.
Right. Well, but that's what you would risk. At least it wouldn't be till the end of the game, though, you know? You wouldn't lose a DH till the end of the game. Something to think about.
I mean –
because as a starter, you lose him when he's right away.
The one good thing for him is that he pitches right-handed and swings lefty.
Yeah.
So he's kind of balancing out his body versus just torquing one way over and over and over. That's what they say about switch hitters. You know, switch hitters very rarely have back injuries because they're not rotating into one hip and creating that imbalance. So when I watch him throw righty and swing lefty, I think he's got a better shot to just feel good every day on a daily basis. But still, man, I mean, throwing 80, 90 pitches, you see the starting pitchers the day after they start.
Yeah.
These guys are a bag of crap. Like they can't, they go run like, you know, 20 pulls at about a half a mile an hour pace. Like they just jog and get their body through it because they're so beat up from starting the day before. And he's in the lineup. And the day before he's in the lineup.
I mean, it's asking a lot. And not many of them have a good record when they just go on short rest. Three days rest instead of four.
No.
You know? And he's got, and you got to do all the things that being in the lineup demands, even if you're the DH, you still got to do a lot of stuff.
You got to stay loose all game.
Yeah.
And he runs. He doesn't, he's not like, you know, he's not a power dude like Nelson Cruz or something that he hits a homer or a single. He's hitting doubles. He's stealing bases. He's scoring from first.
Yeah.
I think for now, being young, he can do it, but it's going to be harder and harder as he gets older.
The negative on that batting left-handed, of course, exposes that arm. I mean, if he gets hit, what's that going to do to him if he's pitching in a game and he gets hit in the right arm?
Yeah.
You know? And he's got to come back out the next inning and pitch? You know how Freddie said his arm's been numb for a couple, three innings sometimes?
Yeah.
When he gets hit in the elbow?
Yeah, Freddie got smoked in the ribs yesterday.
Yeah. So anyway, it's going to be interesting. But it's going to be cool. The whole country's going to be, you know, watching to see because I know the Angels have been on TV a lot, but it's usually 10 o'clock at night, you know?
Yeah.
And
if he's doing this on the East Coast, if he was doing it for Yankees or Red Sox, I mean, then you'd be really sick of hearing about him because he'd be on every highlight.
I mean, we still hear about the Yankees all the time, and they're just a mediocre team. They're just a 500 team, man.
Yep.
So that's the good thing about the Red Sox being so much better than anybody guessed this year had projected, is that they're just killing the Yankees.
Yeah.
That's the best part of it. I mean, and everybody ripped the Red Sox for getting for trading Bettis and all this, you know, letting him go and all these guys. And look at the guy. I mean, something about that organization, man. They're doing some things right. These young guys they bring up are good, you know. I sure thought that was going to backfire on letting Mookie go. But
this goes back to culture. You know, some people don't want to give credit to, but you build a winning culture. You keep enough veterans around and guys that know how you do it.
Yeah. And they still got a good payroll, too. It's not like they're, you know, scraping. Yeah. They still got a lot of money. So much money coming into that organization. My God. I'd like to see a profit margin.
It's good.
I bet the Red Sox. I know the Dodgers got a huge TV deal and a much, much bigger stadium, but the Red Sox have the highest ticket price by far, and they packed that place, and they got good rights deals and all that. I know they got a huge profit margin, man. They got a well-heeled fan base in the park. So it's the first time he'll be the first guy that's ever obviously gone as a position guy, as a hitter and a pitcher to the All-Star game. Starters were elected by the fan vote, and it was a combination of player votes and commissioner's office that named the reserves this year, which, they, again, it changes all the time, but that's kind of usually the way it is. But so I know a lot of Braves fans, and the Braves broadcasters really harped on this for 2 days now about how Ozzie should have started ahead of Adam Frazier.
Yeah.
And a real good argument can be made that. I mean, Ozzie's second by one RBI to Duvall for the NL RBI lead, had a huge June. But it's not like Frazier's an egregious choice, man. The guy's got OPS. It's like, OPS plus was 20 points higher than Ozzie's.
Yeah.
You know, got over 100 hits. I mean, to me, I think Ozzie should have started too, but I don't have a problem with that. I think the Dodgers fans could have a better argument that Max Muncy deserved to start ahead of Freddie.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Albie's got 59 RBIs to Duvall's 60 for the NL lead. Albie's got 43 extra base hits. He's third in the league behind Castellanos. He's got 45, and Tatis got 44. And Acuna, by the way, is tied with Arenado for fourth with 42. So, but Muncy, for the leadoff spot. But Muncy, 972 OPS is 112 points higher than Freddie's. Muncy has a 416 OBP. That guy, man, he's old school like that. He's got as many walks as strikeouts. He's like chipper. To Freddie's 381, still great, 381, but 416 OBP for Muncy. And Muncy's got 18 homers and 47 ribbies to Freddie's 17 and 46. So only argument you can make for Freddie, obviously, is what he's done in the past, and that's what he's got voted for because he's done so much more in his career. But he's played all the games at first this year, and Muncy has played some.
Bounces around, yeah.
Yeah.
And Freddie's defense is probably not even comparable to
– Right, right.
You know, he's probably way better there, but
– But for those – I mean, that like the Braves broadcasters conveniently just overlooked that, you know, that whole debate. You know, they just focused on Ozzie should be starting ahead of Frazier. So, but I think it's a pretty good accomplishment for a Pittsburgh Pirate to get – To
get start
in
the game.
Yeah. Yeah. To, in yeah. fan votes.
Yeah.
So there'll be some more additions because there always are injuries, real or exaggerated, by players who, but like we said, there aren't that many anymore that don't want to go because there's that many that have gone to 10 of them or whatever. So, but a couple of them that kind of jumped out, Trout's on it, but he's not going. Obviously, he's hurt still. He's looking at coming back after the break. But there's a couple of couple of trade targets on here that I think the Braves should be interested in. If they're not, I'm not sure if they are yet, but Joey Gallo has really come on in the last few weeks and he's just crushing the ball. That'd be a nice ad for the Braves. I love the kid from Pittsburgh who's having a hell of a year. He made the team, Brian Reynolds, but he's under control. I don't know if the Pirates can let him go. I mean, the Pirates aren't going to be good for a while. I don't know if they look at that as, you know, he could still be there when we get good. Just depends. I think it just depends on somebody blow them away with an offer, but he's on the All-Star team, Brian Reynolds. You got a couple of former Braves. How about the pitchers for the NL team? Kevin Gausman, who's been a Cy candidate so far.
Yeah.
He's having a hell of a year. Craig Kimbrell. Who's killing it, looks like old Craig Kimbrell, and Mark Melancon, two former Braves closers in the bullpen.
Melancon looks, I mean, I watched him throw the other day, and every time you see him throw his first pitch, if you don't know his stuff,
yeah,
it'll say 92 and you think he threw a curveball. I mean, he's mastered that cutter.
I know. I totally the same. It's so different than all these other closers you watch coming out of the bullpen these days.
Yeah. Kimbrell looks good. Kimbrell's on and I'm glad Kimbrell's doing what he's doing because I would tell people how good he was right around the time he kind of lost that. I mean, he was still good, but nobody got to appreciate how good he was for the Braves when he was, like 2012, 2013, those years he was just crazy.
Yeah.
And I think this might be the best season he's had.
Statistically, it's right there, man.
Yeah.
And and I hated him taking a beating for that contract with the Cubs. It's nice to see people shut up about that now, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, real quick, on Sunday's game, were you watching the Braves game?
I watched a little bit of it. I didn't watch too much of it.
What are you thinking as a pitcher, man? I mean, that's Fried said that he dreamed about that, you know, but because growing up, he's an outfielder and a first baseman. So that's the kind of thing he always dreamed about. But he said he kind of stopped dreaming that once he became a pitcher because you never really think you're going to have that chance.
Right.
But for a pitcher to hit a pinch hit walk-off single, and it wasn't a fluky single. It was a line drive to center.
Good swing.
He's got a good swing, man. He looks like an athlete up there. You know, teammates and a manager will say that about anybody, that he could have been a position guy. But with him, it's legit. He could be an outfielder in the majors if he had focused on that from day, because some teams wanted to draft him as a position guy.
Yeah, he's got a good swing. I mean, I felt kind of good about the situation because there was so much going on already.
Yeah.
You know, the replay review, pitcher had to stand there for a while. It just felt like one of those games that you're just going to lose. You know, if you're the Marlins, like somehow this thing's going to go south. If they didn't win that inning, then it flips. And you're like, the Marlins are winning this game no matter what after a replay gets overturned and everything.
Right. And then you challenge one and it doesn't get.
Yeah. Finished. I was shocked they flipped it.
Because I was shocked.
I just didn't think there'd be the evidence. But I think they've gotten a little better at that lately. Because they caught a lot of scrutiny early on the year where there were some calls that they should have turned and they didn't.
Here's one they've got to address in the offseason, that play at home. It's the same thing as bomb. Remember the bomb play where he never touched home?
Yeah, his foot was in
Something's
the air.
Something's got to be done because super slow-mo, the replay has ruined this. It's changed it. Like the play at second base where a guy comes off the bag for a microsecond, which is not the spirit of the rule at all. Same thing at home. Super slow-mo, when they built the home plate flat with the ground, nobody had this in mind, super slow-mo. Because to the naked eye and to the umpire's eye, Riley touched home plate, right? Yep. And for all intents and purposes, that's the way he should be safe.
Yep.
But when you slow it down and look, it's almost physically impossible, like Snit pointed out. It's almost physically impossible for you to touch home plate with your foot without catching a spike and turning your ankle, breaking your ankle.
Yeah.
You know, because your inertia, just the way you slide with a foot first slide, your foot is not going to be flush with the ground and scrape across the back. It's going to be the air. He said, and the only solution is go head first. And they don't want players to go head first because they're going to get injured. They're going to tear up their shoulders.
I mean, you could do it like the football rule, you know, you get but then you got guys just dive, like just,
right.
You know, it'd be so easy to avoid a tag if you could just hold your hand up over the plate.
You could just do that with your hand. So that doesn't work. And that's why I think that's what the replay, I think, has screwed up some stuff in the game. Those two things, the play at second base, it's messed it up. Because now guys are taught just to keep the glove on the guy the whole time, which is dumb.
And you slide different. You know, you got to slide different if you have to maintain contact throughout the whole slide.
And they want more stolen bases. Well, guys are less inclined to steal if there's a chance they're going to go off the bag for a second, you know? It's like, what the hell? And then this play at home. It's just something's got to be done about this.
Yeah.
I think that should be up to the umpire's discretion. Because if you're going to slow it down, you're going to have that happen a lot.
A lot, yeah.
Where the foot is going to bounce across the plate, you know, above the plate. Just does he happen to get it down on the bounce or whatever? That's not skill. That's not good sliding.
Well, and if you watch that replay, you know, 100 times at full speed, you'd never say he's probably out.
Never.
I mean, he beats the tag, but.
And even then. It wasn't, I didn't think, irrefutable. That's why I was surprised at the overturn, because we've seen them all year where everybody sees on the replay the clear that should be overturned, and then and they don't because they say it's not irrefutable. Well, I didn't think that was overwhelming enough to overturn that.
I would have said there's a 1 in 10 chance they overturn this.
On a game-ending play like that? I didn't think at all.
Especially game-ending play.
Yeah. And I was shocked that Braves fans didn't throw stuff on the play, throw shit on the field like they have before. Maybe they listened to Dansby last time. I don't know when he made the plea.
Well, it didn't end the inning, and you got a better, even a better ending to a
Yeah, yeah. No, no shit.
Pitcher hit the walk off.
So anyway, you get this dramatic. I mean, Max Fried said that he had never felt so good to end a game as that. He said it was a wave of emotions. And you posted the photo. One of the craziest sports photos you're going to see.
What was happening?
Heredia is in the dugout, and he's got these toy, like, swords, a pink one and a white one. And he's just, because he's like, this guy, it's like, drinks 1,000 cups of coffee or acts like he does. I mean, he is energized like Acuna, or even more so. So he was so jacked up, and when Fried gets that, before the ball even lands, he takes off and starts running on the field with those swords. And he crossed first base before Fried did. And then he's like over by the mound doing this stuff with his sword. Just
what is going on out here? I mean, it's a chaotic scene. I wasn't sure, you know, what the rule is.
There's no rule.
I think if he touches him, it'd be a problem. Yeah. But
it's never been like a come up before to have a rule.
Like, why would there be another dude on the
cross
field?
The plate, across the base from the dugout before the runner.
I saw the replay and I just saw somebody go running by, and it wasn't a Marlins player. I was like, who was that? I had to slow it down like 3 or 4 times. See this dude running by with pink swords. I'm just like, you know, what am I watching?
Man, Snit is so focused on the game and the ball and everything. Last year, I was kind of stunned when he said that he didn't realize, because it had happened like 3 or 4 games, that Josh Donaldson had done the umbrella thing in the dugout, where Folty would hand him the umbrella when he got to the dugout. And Snit had never seen it because he's always focused on the next batter. So when he said it, I'm like, really? You didn't see it? Because he said, I just saw that. I don't think he goes home and watches replays on ESPN and everything. But anyway, he said he hadn't seen it. And you could tell he was kind of like, this is really borderline weather, but I'm going to let it go because we're winning and everything. Well, he had the same response when we asked him about Heredia. Bird asked him about Heredia with the swords. Snit had just seen it yesterday, Monday, in Pittsburgh. He saw the replay, and he's like, I just saw that. And he goes, you know, and you could tell he was not amused. No. And he said, everything is theater in the game today. The game, everything is theater. And Bird asked another question before he could say anything that he probably would have regretted, you know. But it's pushing Snit's patience, man.
I would think so, man. I saw that, and I'm like, I mean, he wasn't far from Fried. Yeah, no. How about this? Your pitcher hits a walk-off single and some dude with samurai swords crashes into him before he gets to first base and you got to go.
He tripped him.
Yeah.
Fried could have had to slow down, and tripped over the base or something. Sprains his wrist, you know, falling, avoiding the guy with swords.
We had that happen in Seattle. Jeff Clement hit a walk-off homer and Unieski Betancourt thought it was a double. He thought it bounced out. And so Betancourt chased him around the bases and Clement had to run from him because if he touched him, he's out. And he got to he got to second pretty clear, but Uni came flying out of the dugout to go tackle him. And when he rounded third, Uni was hot on his tail and the third base coach had to grab him and pull him back. Because if he grabbed him, Clement was out and there was two outs in the inning. You know, it would have gone into another inning. But I always wish I could find a clip of that because it was some of the funniest shit I've ever seen. But this samurai sword one would have taken the cake.
There's an AP guy got some good photos of it too. That's going to show up in a lot of places.
Yeah,
it's just so bizarre looking, you know. And the video is even crazy because he's doing all this stuff with.
He runs to the mound and starts. I saw it when they were doing the replay.
Over here celebrating, and he's over here doing his thing with the swords.
Just out of his mind. I saw Aguilar. I think it was kind of pointing over at the Braves dugout while they were doing the review. And doing this stuff to him and you know, kind of telling him he was out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and Aguilar has fun, man. He's goofing with those guys.
I think they had something going on between the two of them.
I like that dude, Aguilar. He's entertaining. He's entertaining like some of those Braves guys are.
Yeah.
But because he's got a running thing going with EY and everything, you know. The Marlins Braves games have been entertaining, even though they haven't gone the Braves way 6 out of 10. They've been entertaining. Guys, let's take a quick break, and then we'll finish up the show.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
We didn't even talk about
Acuna getting hit.
And I actually, you know, I thought the umps got that one wrong. But
So did Glav. I thought you have to issue warnings before you can do that, tossing him, because I mean, you know, I know the replay looks like he's throwing at him. But man, if he's going to throw at him, he's a Venezuelan. Him and Acuna get along great. And Acuna said, I talk to him all the time when I see him, you know, he's Venezuelan. He's a good guy. Acuna didn't say afterwards like he did about Urania. You could tell Acuna wasn't comfortable saying he was throwing at me. He goes, it's just that it's happened before. That was the third time. And that's what all the fans focused on. And I understand that. Yep. And it's crazy that it's happened three times with the Marlins on the first pitch of the game. That is crazy.
Yep.
But they have some guys that don't have good enough command. This guy does have pretty good command, though. And it just got away from him because he hit him with, a 92 miles an hour?
Yeah, it wasn't even a hard throw for his velo. But for me, the thing is you face Acuna right-handed, you have to pitch him in. And your thought process, if I miss in over the plate, I'm like down 1-0. So his thought process is going to be, I got to miss in. First pitch of the game, you're always a little amped up. I mean, you could throw your warm-ups and look up there and it's 87.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, a hitter gets in the box and your body just fires different once that adrenaline kicks in.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I didn't think it was the worst thing ever that they tossed him, because Snit had a point that it has happened a lot.
Right.
But the fact that they didn't do it, and then if they did it right away, it would have looked a lot better. But when you have the manager come out and basically get him tossed – that's where I thought the umps messed it up.
Well, and the thing is, the ump said later they have been told to now do it like the NBA or NFL do, get together and meet on it. Well, Mattingly wasn't aware of that. Nobody was aware of that. Right. So they're supposed to meet, but it looked totally like Snit intimidated it. Right.
Yeah.
He got him to go, because he came out going, that is enough. That is enough. And it looked like the umps got together and said, hey, the history, all right, he's gone. It looked bad. It looked bad. So I understood, you know, what you were saying about the first pitch. They're so aware of this because it was clear the next day, a Mattingly Zoom call. And Mattingly, man, the Zoom calls, it comes across as he's a good dude.
I believed him.
I like him on the Zoom calls. You could tell that he's not a bad guy. I know the Braves fans hate him because they think he's had his guy's throat. Urania's just an idiot. He threw at him, you know? He threw at him.
Because he's tired of getting raked.
But Mattingly has told these guys, like he said, we can't just lay the ball over the plate to him or Freddie, or they're just going to wail. Freddie's going to wail away on balls to left center all day if you do that.
Yep.
Same thing with Acuna. If you leave balls over the plate, this guy's
middle of the way
to
Acuna is gone.
He said he kills you anyway. But he goes, you got to get all the way in. Well, you could tell he said that to his pitchers, too. Like you just said, you got to get all the way in. You can't come in a little bit. If you don't get all the way in, he's going to kill it, which he's done.
That's kind of where I stand on it, too, though, you know, from the Braves' perspective. And I would have liked to just see them let the teams handle it, you know, let the Braves hit somebody back and kind of do it
right
old school, you know, where you make the pitcher more aware of it. Because for me, it's not that they're trying to hit him, but you got to tell them to try harder not to. You know,
they
don't
yeah.
You got to send the message that we don't care if it's on purpose or not. We know you got to pitch this guy in, but if you hit him, we're hitting you back. So then there's that doubt in the pitcher's mind, and maybe he does leave one over the plate when he's not afraid to hit him. But tossing him right there with no warnings or anything, I thought was a little extreme.
If on the first pitch, if nothing else, man, Mattingly can tell him, look, on the first pitch, we're not going to give him anything to hit, but miss outside. Don't miss inside. You know?
You hit him second pitch of the game, it looks better.
Throw an inch off the plate, and if you miss, you know, you can't hit him on the first pitch anymore. Because if you do, the guy's going to get ejected. The next pitcher that hits him on the first pitch, next Marlins pitcher, is going to get ejected.
Well, they know that now. I mean, I think that you'd never expect that as an opposing team, that if you hit the first.
Right.
They got the history, but still
three
you're thinking.
Three times the first pitch.
I mean, I get it. I understand it.
Right.
But just throw a slider.
But just
so it doesn't
look
so bad.
But hitting him overall, if it was just regular hitting him, not the first pitch of the game, they haven't hit him that much.
No.
The Cubs, the Cardinals have hit him with more frequency, like three times in 12 games. The Red Sox. If you do it per game, it's six times. It's not that much, considering how many times they played him. Like Riley's been hit more by some teams, and the Braves have hit a couple of Marlins. The Braves have hit a couple of Marlins more than the Marlins have hit Acuna during that same, like Brian Anderson. But it's the fact that it was the first pitch of the game.
It looks way worse when it's to lead off the game and you just smoke him.
And he hit so many first pitch homers, so it's like all this perfect storm. Why it looks so bad?
Well, and that used to be kind of a code, you know, not necessarily a code, but you didn't expect a leadoff guy to come at you like that. It was always you get a guy taking a pitch or two.
Right.
So, I mean, I see from that aspect of saying, you know, they're sending a message. You better not be so comfortable to start the game. Yep. But again, you send all the messages you want, but don't hit him. And if you do, you know, your best guy's wearing it back, or your pitcher has to get in the box and he's wearing one.
You got to be good enough that if you miss, you don't hit him.
Yeah, but there's no room for error in there because he's on the dish.
He crowds a plate, man. I tried to explain that on Twitter. People jump all over you and throw up the numbers like Chipper was only hit so many times. I'm like you said, he's a switch hitter for one thing.
So he's all the way across.
And he was a foot away from the, you know, so much further back than Acuna is.
But that's the thing. When you throw arm side and the ball sails on you, it goes arm side. So he's going to get hit by a ton of righties. Not a lot of righties practice pitching into righties, but against Acuna, there's nowhere to go out over the plate. He stays on breaking balls. So it's just a situation where you're going to keep having righties trying to pitch him in, and he's going to get hit. And if you're the Braves, you want him comfortable because he's unpitchable when he's like that.
Right.
So you want to protect that. But
and I know the fans get, you know, he's their guy, and they'd hate to see him. They hate to think he could miss half a season like Freddie did when he got hit in the hands. Yep. But he wears all the armor for a reason, you know, and for the most part, he's protected. He could still get hit in the hands, but that can happen even if you back up a little bit. But by comparison, he doesn't get hit. He's not even one of the guys that get hit the most. Look at like Rizzo gets hit so much more than Acuna does. And there's several guys like that. So,
but Rizzo is – I've never seen anybody more on top of the dish than Rizzo. And I think that's kind of the mindset you have to have is that's what works for him. He doesn't like the ball away.
Right.
So pitches away now he can pull, but he takes it as this is just part of my game is I'm going to get smoked a lot.
And Acuna still is, I think he'll change. I think he'll stop maybe. I think he gets scared when he gets hit that he might be hurt, you know, not scared of getting hit, but when he gets hit, he thinks, oh shit, I'm hurt, you know, because he's still young and and he don't want to get hurt, man. He can't get hurt. And I think when he realizes, you know, you're going to get hit. It's going to be okay. You're not going to get your elbow broke. You got that big thing on.
But he's not scared to get hit, though. He never buckles. You never see him
never
get stood up by a breaking ball. That's what makes him so good is he stays on that breaking
ball.
Stays
on it, right. Yeah, I think if he can just learn to get his hands out of the way, I think Freddie did that better, turning his shoulder a little more. You know, Freddie doesn't get hit like he used to. If Acuna can learn to turn his shoulder a little bit more, get a little more comfortable doing that, then I think he'd be better off because – he could still get hit. It still exposes those hands.
Yeah.
And that's like what you can't
put pads on. That's the scary thing is if he breaks a finger.
You can't put Teflon on that because then you can't hit.
Right.
So, anyway. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll go back down there again. I'll be down there in Miami in a couple of days.
If they hit him first pitch again, then I will eject him.
This is going to be the benches are going to clear.
Yeah.
Snip might just go over and take on Don.
Oh, I think Don's got snit right now.
Yeah, and Mattingly really likes him too. By the way, you could tell he talked nothing but praise for him. He said, "I think he's a hell of a manager. I got nothing but respect for what he's done, everything, how he goes about. He's protecting his guys." He goes, "If the shoe was on the other foot, I'd do the same thing." He totally understood. And as a player, he totally understood. You know,
for me, that should put to rest the whole Snit hates Acuna thing too, because he came flying out of that dugout.
Right again. That's the second time he's done that when he's been hit. The other time he wanted to fight Urania.
Yeah.
People conveniently, all these people that said when Snit came out, finally, I'm like, finally, go back and look at the clip when he wanted to fight Urania.
Yeah, they've been watching since 2020.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, man. Never a dull moment with this team, but let's see how they finish up in these last five games. We'll do another one of these from Miami at the end of the week, I think.
Cool.
For the break. That 755 is real. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate you guys hanging in there with us in this trying season. We're out.